that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. At Theater on the Ridge in Paradise, the current production is One Man, Two Governors, a wild comedy set in 1960s England. It has nonstop, over-the-top physical comedy, and the characters interact directly with the audience. Today we talk with the play's energetic, go-for-broke cast.
Underwater from Oberth Dam we stand. Underwater from Oberth Dam.
On today's program, we also talk with an artist from the Bay Area who has an exhibit at Chico State's University Art Gallery. The exhibit is called Dam. And he's showing a video of his performance piece in which he goes from the Oroville Dam and walks all the way to downtown Oroville while dressed as a tree. It's also highlighting in a quirky way issues of drought and environment. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
Redding's Riverfront Playhouse presents The Man Who Came to Dinner. This classic comedy filled with colorful characters plays tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2. At the Orland Arts Center, the exhibit A Beautiful Blend of East and West featured are works by Chung Hong Chang, who blends classical oriental painting with European style still lives. Also showing Bowls and Other Woodturn Pieces by Judith Cleaver. The centers open 1 to 6, Tuesday through Saturday. In Chico, Inspire School of Arts and Sciences presents the play Scapino. This zany comedy, set in Italy, is on stage at the Blue Room Theater. Only 3 more performances, tonight at 7 o'clock and tomorrow at 2 and 7. At the university's Janet Turner Print Museum, visit the exhibit Wide Open Spaces, Janet Turner Prints with Photos of the Big Chico Creek Ecological Reserve. The Turners open 11 to 4, Monday through Saturday. At the Chico Art Center, Day of the Dead Live Art Exhibit. This show celebrates the Mexican holiday with altars, artwork, poetry, and music. The exhibit runs only 1 more week. The art centers open every day, noon to 4. 1078 Gallery features lithographs, silk screens, and cyanotypes created by printmaker Susanna Crum in the exhibit A Collecting Place. 1078's hours, 12:30 to 5:30, Thursday through Saturday. Butte College presents Spring Awakening, the Tony-winning rock musical, recommended for mature audiences. Performances are at the Black Box Theater on Butte College's main campus tonight and tomorrow at 7:30, with a final performance Sunday at 2. The Acting Company in Yuba City opens the lighthearted comedy Christmas Bells. A trio of feuding sisters struggles to put together a holiday pageant. See the play tonight or tomorrow at 8 o'clock. There's also a Sunday matinee at 2. In Yuba City, the Community Memorial Museum of Sutter County celebrates our country's greatest natural wonders with the exhibit The National Park Service, 100 Years of Heritage. See this collection of artwork Wednesday through Friday between 9 and 5, or Saturday between noon and 4. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Born on this date, one of the greatest composers of musical theater and popular song, Johnny Mercer. His view of the songwriting process: it takes more talent to write music, but it takes more courage to write lyrics.
I'm here at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise, and they just opened their new production, One Man, Two Governors. We're talking now to J.D. Amaral, who plays the lead character. So is your interaction with, say, all the people in the front row, is that just a different thing every night, depending on what people say?
Absolutely. We have so much room for improvisation, and that is a little frightening, because I never know if what I say is going to be funny, but it's totally freeing. You say your lines, you get through the gags, you get the laughs when you expect it, and that can be funny and it can be fulfilling, but just this idea of they're engaged, they're giving input, you keep them on your toes, they keep you on your toes. It's an invigorating process. Every night is just a little bit different, and I come up with some more funny stuff as I go that maybe I'll keep it in my pocket for later, or or I'll just blow it off and move on to the next one, but it all varies, and that's very exciting.
Well, tell us about your character and the situation your character is in.
Down and out, happy-go-lucky, pretty much any cliche you can think of for that. And he flat out tells you it. I'm the Harlequin. That's my role in this play. I'm the stock character. I don't really have much else to go on. I'm always hungry. When that's sated, I'm off to my next fixation, which in this case, I'm not going to give it away too much. But that's the big keeper, is that I'm always just ravenous and gluttonous, which is very much like the stock character Harlequin. He's usually very gluttonous or very, well, not really mischievous, but, you know, the jokester, the trickster. The funny part of Francis, you know, he's so heavyweight. he's supposed to be a girthy fellow, but the idea of the Harlequin is that he's also very agile, and so that adds a nice little layer to the humor, because somebody might see somebody such as me who's a bit heavier and stocky, and they see me doing, you know, rolls and tucks and throwing myself across stage. It adds a bit of that zaniness to it on how agile the Harlequin can be. As for Francis's character, it's very simple. He doesn't have any malice in his heart, but he's very clever to the point where he really doesn't see more than a few steps ahead rather than the big scheme. When he finds himself in another rut, he just keeps adding another, and he just keeps piling it on and piling it on and piling it on. But he never has evil in his heart. He's such a nice guy. But he's just as carried along with the plot as everybody else is, even though he tries to control it.
So why do you think that this stock character, the clever servant who gets into these wild, complicated jams, why is he so popular?
I think because the audiences really can relate to that kind of character. You know, he's working class. He's relatable. You almost feel sorry for him, but you can almost see yourself in that situation. But the way that he reacts to it is always so manic or zany and something completely antithetical to that part. But yet you want to help him. You want to be part of him. And yet you want to laugh at his adventures.
And now I'm talking with Teresa Hurley Miller, who plays Dolly. Tell me about your character.
Dolly is the secretary, and she's a bit of a tart. She's just kind of a bit of, we're all comic relief.
What's it like doing this play that is so immersed in the British culture in the 1960s?
Well, of course, I love the costumes and the hair. It's really fun to do that. And I've never done a panto before, so it's really fun to interact with the audience. I've actually never been in a show where we get to break the fourth wall so often, and I thought it would be really scary, but it's actually really fun.
Well, I think your character is quite self-sufficient and quite a strong woman role model.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I love that show Mad Men, and she reminds me of some of the characters in Mad Men, just sort of an over-the-top comic version of that, but a woman who was self-assured and was being sexually harassed, but overcoming that at the same time and making fun of it herself.
What's your favorite part in this roller coaster ride of wild farce?
It is definitely a roller coaster ride. I think that's a good way of putting it. And you never know what's going to happen. And something terrible goes wrong every night. And it's just, it's hilarious. And you just have to really stay in the moment and try to figure it out. And you have really have to stay on your toes. And it's a challenge and it's really fun.
Well, this is kind of a family affair since we have Jerry Miller as the director. We have you, Jerry's wife. We also have Jerry's son, Loki, leading the band. Are you having a great time together as a family in this production?
Absolutely. It's always fun to work with them. They're both so creative and artistic, and we have a lot of fun, you know, rehearsing at home together and here at the theater, and we always have a good time together.
We've been talking with Teresa Hurley Miller, one of the cast of One Man, Two Governors at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise. Now we're talking with Ava Hilsey. You're actually a double character, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. I start out as my dead twin brother, Roscoe Crabb, and I go to Brighton because I need money. So I dress up as him, but I'm actually my other twin, which is Rachel Crabb. I switch a lot, and it's a lot of pulling off mustaches and revealing my secret identity. And I acquire Francis as my minder, because I'm scared after the big fight that went down where my brother died. Then that turns into a bunch of stuff going down and things going crazy. And
is this the wildest theater production you've ever been involved in?
Oh, definitely. The rehearsals were difficult and long, but they were so much fun. I've never been in a show this much fun. Every night there was something new. There was something to laugh at. Something always changed, and it was always keeping us on our toes. And I've never had that experience before in theater. It was amazing.
And now we're talking with Stacey Green. Tell me who your character is and a little bit about her.
My character is Pauline Clench, the daughter of Charlie. She's a very confused girl. Very confused, yes.
What's it like playing that person who's a few steps behind the audience and everybody else on stage?
I feel like it comes very easily to me.
Well, this show is a full smorgasbord of entertainment because you got all kinds of things going on. And in fact, between scenes, you get to come out and sing in a three-girl girl group. Was that fun?
Very fun, yes. And we have these special dresses made for us. It's one of my favorite parts.
And now we're talking with Denver Nash. Tell us about who your character is and what your character is like.
Stanley Stubbers, kind of the naughty master, king of the one-liners, little bit of a nudge-nudge, wink-wink to everything he says.
What's it like being in such a fast-paced, complex show?
It definitely takes concentration, especially for Stanley's character. He has several different scenes back to back where he's going from a very crazy musical interlude to appearing in a very funny costume in one scene, in the ironing scene. You have to immediately be able to switch gears and go full bore for everything that you're attempting to do.
And now we're talking with Keith Barrett, who plays another part in One Man, Two Governors. Tell me about who your character is.
Charlie is a sort of retired gangster and runs a scrap metal business. His daughter is getting married. Plans go awry, and hilarity ensues.
What was it like for you immersing yourself in something that's so English, so British, because it really seems like it's out of the British culture?
I took to it sort of easily, having watched a lot of British humor, including Monty Python's Flying Circus and a lot of other movies. And so it wasn't hard for me to fall into Charlie and talking that way. I'd also seen a little bit of the sort of English music hall show, so that the complete freedom of just, we're just fooling around here and the audience is a part of the show, that sort of came to me and it was a whole lot of fun.
Speaking of the music hall style, in one break between two of the scenes, you and one of your fellow cast members get to do a full number where you sing. You did a lot of dancing. I haven't seen you do that much dancing before.
That was a lot of fun. It was, the whole style of the show was so free. I could be as ridiculous as I wanted in the dancing and as ridiculous and pretentious as I wanted in the singing. I had just gotten a ukulele for my birthday about 2 months before, and I foolishly told the director, hey, you know, I could probably play the ukulele in that song that we're going to do. And so I'm just barely there with the ukulele playing, but being a ridiculous singer comes very easily to me.
Okay, now we're talking with John Harbour, another of the cast from One Man, Two Governors. Tell me about Alan Dangle. He's your character.
Well, he's a narcissistic human being. He loves himself.
But he's a wannabe grand actor, isn't he?
He's a great actor, actually. He's the best there is.
Acting genius.
Indeed, an acting genius. He claims to be in love with Pauline, but you know, I don't know if that's quite true. But
it seems like the grandiosity of the emotions is more important to him than the truth of how he really feels.
Yeah, probably the idea of love. you know, every great play has a good romance story in it. So I'd wager Alan just wants that because that's, you know, what happens in theater.
And now we're talking with Patrick Brown. He plays Alfie. And I'd have to say that your character takes more abuse than any of the other characters. What's that like?
Well, I read the script before everybody else because I'm also the assistant director for the show. When I read it, I instantly fell in love with Alfie. And I begged Jerry to let me have it because it is a physically demanding role. I love Jerry Lewis and I love Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin. There's nothing funnier than an old man falling down a flight of stairs. So,
what's it like for you, since you're not an old man? You're
I'm 29.
You're 29, but you're playing this ancient guy with all of these impediments, you know, and a pacemaker that gets turned up and down. What's it like playing such an old man for fun?
Well, my friends will tell you that I'm not really pretending to be an old man. I am that old. I always seem to hurt myself. I'm always wearing old man style clothes and I'm always, you know, walking around with a limp and complaining about aches and pains. So it's not really acting as much as it's just me being me.
Well, one of the main gags with your character was that you do have that big pacemaker on your chest and people keep turning it up and down and that changes the rate at which you do things. Is it fun to do those different things related to the pacemaker?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. One of my favorite gags is from the Carol Burnett show where the old man falls down the stairs really slowly. So I emulate that when my pacemaker is low. And then when they turn it up, I'm just running sprints back and forth across the stage. So it's fun to have that multiple gears. It's one of my favorite parts of the whole show is those pacemaker bits.
One Man, Two Governors. On stage at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise. Now through December 11th.
Underwater from over the dam we stand. Underwater from over the dam we stand. Underwater from over the dam we stand.
This is Dolores Mitchell, and today I'm speaking with Kelly Lindner of the University Art Gallery, now called the Jackie Headley University Art Gallery. Kelly, first tell us the details of the exhibition.
Chris Soller's exhibition, Dam, is going to be on view at the Jackie Headley University Art Gallery from November 1st through December 16th. And if you don't know where it is, the new building is located right on 2nd Street in between Salem and Normal. I had a plan for this semester, which was to work with artists who would be interested in sort of giving us a new perspective of our place, this place we live here in Chico. Chris came up to look around the area, and he had already been interested in issues of water. So what really struck him was actually the Oroville Dam. We developed a project that resulted in a whole new body of work for this exhibition.
I feel the planet shaking when you talk to me. I feel that you're mistaken. Me to be, and we're underwater from over the dam we stand. Underwater from over the dam we stand. I feel the motion when I'm standing still. I underwater from over the dam we stand. Underwater from over the dam we stand. Underwater from...
Chris, I like the fact that you have a great sense of humor and you managed to become a tree, which reminded me very much of Monty Python. Tell us about your exhibition, and we'll get to that tree.
My exhibition, Damn.
I'm going to spell that. It's not D-A-M. It's D-A-A-A-M.
So you have to sound it out as you say it.
Damn.
Correct. Yeah, I grew up on Monty Python and that humor. I really like absurdist humor, and there's something very absurd about moving water hundreds of miles from one location to the next in a very kind of dry climate. I think some of that dry humor is coming into the series of works of both sculpture and video that makes up the exhibition.
So you're going to show a combination of videos and photographs and sculptures.
Primarily videos and sculpture, but the videos are also documentation of a performance piece called Tree and Turf, where a tree and turf made from artificial trees and turf make their way from the bottom of Lake Oroville and traverse parts of Lake Oroville into the town of Oroville.
And you were the tree.
In the past, I've done these performance pieces where I've been walking piles of trash. And I've also done that where I have an outfit of trash bag pants, trash bag shirt, trash bag poncho and hood, which allows me to move through an urban environment and lay down as a pile of garbage. And so Tree and Turf are similar to some of that. The outfits themselves came out of discarded trees and astroturf that was thrown away. My friend Lee Levy, he plays turf, and he's also done some performance pieces and outfits. I thought of this duo. I originally thought it'd be one outfit that would be both, but instead I decided that a tree wants to be a tree and turf wants to be turf.
It seems to me that turf had the easier time. Turf could lie down.
Turf is like a fake lawn in the middle of a very dry environment. He gets to take it easy.
Well, what happened when you finally got to the town of Oroville?
We posted up in different places where there'd be green lawns and also on lawns in people's yards where it was super dry. So then we became the bright green tree and lawn for their house.
What kind of reactions did you get?
We got double takes and drive-bys and shouts and screams and questions and what? And people going, damn.
Well, what can people expect when they come to the University Art Gallery? You also have some sculptures.
My work integrates both sculpture and video. The show like integrates the two of those things too. So the outfits from Tree and Turf become like a sculpture installation next to a video documenting that performance around Lake Oroville. There's another video installation, which is like a plywood cutout of Lake Oroville Dam with a projection of all the California dams and me going, damn, 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 damn.
Well, you seem to have a certain attitude towards dams.
I think they're very important and resourceful, and they allow us to hold water for later. And there's something interesting about the principles of that and the feats of engineering that go into moving land. And moving land is similar to sculpture. Making sculpture is like carving and forming and containment. So all those principles of a dam are also in play in some of the works. There's things that act as a barrier that contain you in a certain space, or there might be a feeling of overflow of different things, or there might be a blanket that's on the ground that is of the California drought land soaked in water called wet blanket. I'm playing with all these puns and play of words, making these sculptures. So the words phonetically also come into play as the works coming together.
Chris, why don't you tell me about one of the sculptures in the exhibition?
I have one piece called Water Cooler, which is two water cooler 5-gallon bottles filled with dirt from the bottom of Lake Oroville. So as it's tipped, it makes the sound of something very dry that makes you very thirsty, but you can't have anything to drink.
Ooh, damn. What sort of advice would you give art students today?
To make art because you're passionate about it and that you have to do it and you will sacrifice other things to enable yourself time, energy, and resources to just do it. The other thing is with making art, you might never get a career or financial benefits from doing it. So there has to be something of passion and something at stake about what it is you're doing, and also something that gives you total pleasure. If your work is not giving you pleasure and challenging you and having you rethink what can happen and doesn't excite you, then you need to change up your process and figure out different ways to have that level of excitement, passion, and inspiration from the activities that you do.
Well, you've had works exhibited in San Francisco MoMA, for example. Mm-hmm. Once a work is in a gallery, it does get validated. It's mm-hmm. then supposed to be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. But having your work out in public where perhaps the person looking at it doesn't even realize it's supposed to be regarded as art, that really is taking a big chance.
If anyone ever asks, well, the tree doesn't talk and turf doesn't talk, trash doesn't talk. You can trash talk, but trash itself does not talk. It's something I offer as advice too, is I never call it art in those spaces. I call it what it is. If a task is being done, the task is described. The activity is described. I think it becomes too dismissive if it's like, oh, I can categorize this. If something is uncategorized, it creates tension and problems for people because they can't figure out why something's happening. And if the why is so clear, then the mystery disappears, which also kills the work. Make all the crazy notions that you have and keep a sense of mystery and wonder in some of the works that you make.
Well, that seems like a marvelous thing that artists contribute to culture and awareness. It shakes us up and makes us think in new kinds of ways.
Chris Soller's exhibition really does that. It's going to make us reflect on what's happening in our region. It gives us an opportunity to laugh, but it also gives us a chance to really sit back on our heels and think, oh, wait, there's something serious here that we need to think about.
Can you just recap the details on the exhibition?
The exhibition is at the Jackie Headley University Art Gallery on the Chico State campus, and it's in the new Arts and Humanities building, which is located at 2nd Street in between Salem and Normal. The exhibition will be on view through December 16th.
Thank you both.
Underwater from over the dam we stand. Underwater from over the dam we stand. Underwater from over the dam we stand.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. We wish you and your family the happiest of Thanksgivings. And as always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in your community. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.